In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Holy Spirit, sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again, make your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may live in it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Amen.
Amen.
Mary, see the wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Okay. Entry number 97, May 10th, 1930, volume 28. My daughter, all created things are happy. Happy because they were created by a divine will, which in itself is eternally happy. They are happy for the office that they occupy, happy in the space in which they find themselves, happy because they glorify their creator. Nothing created by us has been created unhappy. Thus, everything possesses the fullness of happiness. Now, if we poured forth so much happiness in all creation, in the creation of man, we not only created him doubly happy, giving him the vein of happiness in the mind, in the sight, in the word, in the heartbeat, in the movement, and in the step, but we placed in his power happiness itself, multiplying it in each good act, word, step, and in all the rest he would have done. There were no limits of happiness for him, like in created things. The virtue of always growing more in happiness was given to man. But this, if he had let himself be dominated by my divine will. Without my will, happiness cannot reign. Oh, if created things could go out from our fiat, they would lose happiness that instant and would change into the most unhappy works. So if you want to be happy, let yourself be dominated by my divine volition, because only it has the virtue of giving happiness to the creature and of changing the most bitter things into the sweetest nectar. My daughter, you must know that we loved the creature with perfect love. Therefore, in creating it, we put in the creature complete happiness, love, sanctity, and complete beauty, so that the creature could put itself in competition with us and reciprocate us with happiness, love, and complete sanctity, in a way that we could delight so much in it, to be able to say, how beautiful is the work created by us, and to make sure that our gifts would not suffer detriment in the creature. We entrusted them to our divine will so that it would be the source of their life in order to protect in the creature our happiness, our love, our sanctity, and our beauty, and by making them always grow. So, all the good of man was tied to our divine will. Rejecting our divine will, all the goods come to an end. There is no greater misfortune than that of not making oneself be dominated by my divine will, because only it is the conserver and the call of our goods in the creature. Amen, fiat.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's go to some passage of the Catechism first before we go to the passage of Adam. In the Catechism 360, number 360. The church says, because of its common origin, the human race forms a unity. For from one ancestor, God made all nations to inhabit the whole world. And then in 379, it says that this harmony of original justice foreseen for man in God's plan will be lost by the sin of our first parents. In this passage that we just read, we hear how the Lord says that he put everything in man. He put basically the seed of happiness, of love and beauty and sanctity. And Adam was supposed to grow always. There were no limits of happiness for him, like in created things. So we will explore that a little bit more. Let's go to 399 of the Catechism. In there, the church says scripture portrays the tragic consequence of this first disobedience. Adam and Eve immediately lost the grace of original holiness. Then they become afraid of God, of whom they have conceived a distorted image. Right? In this passage that we read from Adam, the Lord tells Luisa Picaretta how all created things, they are basically happy. They are fixing the will of God. And happy in a way, you know, we don't see the sun laughing, we don't see the moon smiling, right? Or the stars, they're doing their own way because they don't have free will, but they are fixing the will of God. They are happy. One day communicates with another, the psalm says. Somebody has the microphone open. Okay, so all this idea is contained also in the Psalms. And we see in sacred scripture how God created everything in harmony. We see that in the book of Genesis, how everything is created. God creates everything thinking about Adam and Eve. First, everything as he is creating, he has in mind the one who is gonna create, which is Adam. And that's why the Lord says in this passage that everything is happy. Again, all creation is fixed in the will of God. They don't have free will. We are the only creatures who possess free will and this gift that the Lord gave us was meant for us to be used so that we may glorify God, so that we may adore him, so that we may correspond, what he mentions as to reciprocate him, so that by using this gift that he gave us, we may learn to love with divine love. So this is what happened basically, that after Adam and Eve, they lost the gift. They chose basically to love with the human love. They rejected divine love, and they chose to love with a human love. There is a passage in the Bible where the Lord tells the disciples, what good is it to love those who are good to you? There is no merit in that. Then, but to be good with those who are not good to you, that's divine love. That's divine love, to go beyond. And this is what Adam possessed, to be able to love with a divine love. All creation is fixed in the will of God. Everything is created in the will of God. We are the only ones who went out of the will of God. Saint Francis of Assisi, I mentioned last time that he really understood this, how everything is fixed in the will of God. And he expresses that in the Canticle of Brother Sun, the Canticle of Creation. Most high, all-powerful, good Lord, yours are the praises, the glory, the honor, and the blessings. To you alone, Most High, do we belong. And no man is worthy to mention your name. Praise be you, my Lord, with all your creatures, especially in Brother Sun, who is the day and through whom you give us light. The sun has its own voice. We can say its mute voice, shining. It doesn't have free will. But this is exactly what Adam was doing, basically. But you see that Saint Francis is doing, basically, this is what Adam was doing before the fall. He was praising, adoring, corresponding God for having created the sun for him. So Adam was doing that, and Saint Francis, basically, he got so close, he learned to do what Adam was doing without having this divine science, the knowledge. So what these passages tell us, all these passages from the Book of Heaven that talk about Adam and Eve, they help us understand what Adam and Eve were doing before the fall, when they were placed in the garden, so we may learn also to do the same and to pray and to do the acts in the way Adam and Eve were doing before the fall. And you see how Saint Francis, he got so close without having the knowledge of this divine science. And then our Lord talks about beauty. All of these are attributes of God that he placed in men. Little seeds, little particles, we could say. We can say little sparkles of his own attributes. When he talks about sanctity, beauty, happiness, love, all of these are attributes in God. Saint Francis of Assisi mentions that also in that same canticle, and he says, and he is beautiful and radiant with great splendor and bears a likeness of you, Most High. Praise be you, my Lord, through sister moon and stars, the stars in heaven. You form them clear and precious and beautiful. Praise be you, my Lord, through brother wind and through the earth, clouds and serene, and every kind of water. Excuse me, a weather through which you give substance to your creatures. Praise be you, my Lord, through sister water, which is very useful and humble and precious and chaste. Praise be you, my Lord, through brother fire, through whom you light the night, and he is beautiful and playful and robust and strong. Praise you, my Lord, through our sister Mother Earth, who sustains us and governs us, who produces varied fruits with colors and flowers and herbs. You see, this is what Adam was doing before the fall, recognizing everything and then thanking God. He was reciprocating with that same love. Saint Francis of Assisi, he learned to do that, and he recognized in the elements and the beauty. Many times in the Book of Heaven, the Lord uses the sun as an example of the divine will. And Saint Francis of Assisi here, he mentions how this great splendor of the sun, right, is an image of the likeness of God, of who God is light, that God is light. That's what we say it in the Creed, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. Praise be you, my Lord, through those who give, to those who give pardon for your love and bear infinite and tribulation. Blessed are those who endure in peace, for by you most high they shall be crowned. Praise be you, my Lord, through our sisters bodily dead, from whom no living person can escape. He even praises them, right? We know that in the original state of grace, he was not supposed to experience death. Only happiness, the Lord says. Only happiness. Basically, what Saint Francis of Assisi is doing there, he's fulfilling also what the Catechism of the Catholic Church is telling us in 358, that we have to return everything to God, all his creation back to him. And it's very interesting that Saint Francis of Assisi, he was so close, and he learned to do what our Lord Jesus is teaching Luis Albergaretta through these writings, without having the complete knowledge of the divine science. Now that we have the grace to know this divine science, so we are blessed indeed that now we have the knowledge and we have the example of the saints even to support these writings. I don't know about you, but in this prayer of Saint Francis, we can clearly see that he is really doing what we are supposed to do, what Adam was supposed to do. That's why he is the saint that resembles the most the original man, Adam. And in his own way, he learned how to live in that way, to give thanks to God, to glorify God in and through creation. And in that, he also found his happiness. He learned to live without nothing, basically, with very few things, with very little. He emptied himself. And this is what we are called to do also, to enter ourselves, to become like another Christ. For the divine will to be able to come and operate in our souls, we have to get rid of everything that does not belong to the Lord, so that he can find his heaven in our soul. So he can find that place where to live in us. And for that, yes, we have to be healed. That's why we have to forgive, forgive, forgive. We have to get rid of all this leprosy that we have basically acquired or we have inherited. And we have to get rid of all of that. Because if we don't get rid of that, then he will not be able to possess us. We will not be able to possess him. And in creation, he set limits. He set limits. He says, referring to creation, that each one of them, they are happy for the they occupy a specific office. So let's go again to the example of the sun, right? It occupies a specific function to give us light and all the effects that the sun has upon the earth produces life, vegetation, fruits, herbs, all kinds of benefits that sustain us. That's the specific office of the sun, which is different than the earth, of the wind, of the water. Each one of them, they occupy a specific office. God has set limits on them. And they glorify God in that way. God is being glorified in that way. They cannot move. But we are the only ones who are able to grow in that happiness. He says there were no limits for happiness for Adam, like in creation. There are no limits. And he was always growing and always growing in more and more in happiness, according to his own capacity. And this is what he's been offered for all of us, every one of us. As long as we are alive, there is no limits how much you can grow spiritually. And when he talks about the expansion of the soul in volume 14, when he talks about the Ravinian and the actual act that is all the soul is always expanding, always acquiring a new capacity. This is what it means when he says that there is no limits. Basically, we set the limits. The creature here has the opportunity or the power to set the limits. Even we limit God. How? Because if we don't possess, he can only give us according to our capacity. So in a way, we limit him of how much he's able to give, how much he can give us. He's able to give us infinite because he's God. But when we start living in this way, united with his will, united with his will, then there is no limits. We allow him to give us more and more and more and more and more. But the moment we go out of the divine will, the moment we decide that we don't want to live in this way, then he cannot do anything because of the freedom he gave us. He respects so much that gift. But this gift allows us to go to always grow and grow and grow and grow according to our capacity, always as a creatures that we are. In Adam, he deposited, as I said, little sparkles, little tiny seeds of his own attributes. And these were supposed to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. In us, after the fall in baptism, he deposits the theological virtues. And they are supposed to grow in us. The more we learn about the faith, the more we receive the sacraments and the state of grace, the more we learn about who God is, then these three theological virtues that come directly from God, which the Book of Heaven in the second volume, God tells us, I mean, our Lord Jesus tells us that faith, hope, and charity, that's God himself. That faith is God himself, little tiny, tiny, tiny particle of who God is, basically. So this is supposed to grow in us. And in Adam, his happiness basically was constituted by this union that he received, in which he was created in the union. In union with the divine will. He just have to grow in that. He just have to remain and grow in that union until he decided to withdraw from that union and to become, basically, he wanted to be God without God. He decided to love with human love. Now for us that we know this divine science, it's not so difficult to enter into this way of living. It requires, of course, it requires that we know about this science, that it requires that we practice, and then until it becomes part of us. But the most difficult thing here basically is to remain in that mode of operation because of the way we live and because how we are used to live and all the concupiscence that remains after baptism and sometimes because of our lack of virtue. So that's why the Catechism of the Church throughout all these more than 2,000 years has articulated all this doctrine to help us grow in virtue. And the more we grow in virtue, those virtues, they are already disposed in our souls. Those are dispositions. That's why God gives us in baptism those virtues because they help us dispose our soul to receive more, to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to receive the sacraments and to grow in that likeness. But also in the life of virtue, each one of us grows according to our own pace, basically. Some of us are less advanced than others in virtue. And in living this way for the divine will to operate in us, we have to have those dispositions. Now, when we learned about this science and we start practicing, we are able to advance faster. The Lord says to Elizabeth Gaveta, what the saints acquired in years and years and with so many sacrifices, with this divine science, by practicing and living in this divine science, you will be able to advance in a faster way and to grow because this is our Lord Jesus, this is the will of God operating in us. The human person is the creature is providing the acts, is providing the material through which the divine will can operate. It's a little bit like in the Eucharist. We provide the bread, we present the bread and the wine. And it is God, through the sacrament of the priesthood of our Lord Jesus, that transforms that bread and that wine in body and blood, soul and divinity. But without the bread and the wine, even if we have a priest, if there is no bread, there is no wine, we cannot have the Eucharist. We need the bread and the wine. We already have the free will. But if we don't consent, he cannot begin operating in us. And God has all these things that he wants to give us. He wants to give himself to us, basically. Because this is what he was doing in the beginning with Adam and Eve. He was giving himself to them. And we see this. He was giving, filling them with love, sanctity, beauty, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, all that God is. They were growing in that likeness. So they were being filled with God himself. And they were being filled at every moment, always growing, always growing, always growing. And that constituted their happiness, their happiness. They were always happy in that way, in that state. I think it is in the rounds of the soul, the rounds of creation is in four, I think, or five, that the Lord reveals to Luisa Picaretta that they were always competing. Adam and Eve, they were always competing with each other, trying to glorify God the most and the most. Who will glorify God the most? Because they understood that. And this is what our Lord wants to give us back. Oh, he had already opened the door for us, and he has given this already. We have already the example of Luisa Picaretta, that she learned how to live in this way, how to operate in this way, that she was catechized, that she was formed in this way, and then she basically learned how to pray, how to act in the same way as Adam and Eve were acting and praying. When I'm saying praying, is basically corresponding to God, because they didn't pray the way we now pray. They didn't have necessity. They didn't have the necessity to pray as we pray now. They didn't have to pray for their health, since there was not pain. They didn't have headaches. They didn't have to pray for so many other things. Their prayer was this, basically what we read in the Canticle of the Creatures. That was their prayer, just recognizing, blessed be God in all creation. Blessed be God, and may you be blessed in these little flowers, in these creatures, and in the waters, in the wind, in the fires, in the birds of the sky, in the stars, in the heavens. May you be blessed in and all creation, in the water, in the rain, in the singing of the birds, in the fish, in the ocean, in the night, in the day, right? So that was their prayer. And again, to me, it's so amazing how God is revealing this a little by little. How God reveals his plan a little by little, and he uses the saints as instruments for him to bring us to the fullness. Now, if you look at that passage, 358 of the Catechism, and you read the Canticle of the Creatures, you will understand that Adam was offering all creation back to God. And in that way, he was fulfilling his duty, basically. This is what the Catechism says. God created everything for men, but man in turn was created to serve and love God and to offer all creation back to him. What was the prayer that Adam and Eve were doing? They were offering all creation back to God. How? Basically in the way that St. Francis learned to do. And how do we offer all creation back to God? Now, in the same way, we can use that canticle to learn how to do it, but we also have the rounds of creation that we know through the Book of Heaven. And now we learn, we don't need even the books, because now we know how to do it, and we can do it at every moment, everywhere, mentally, verbally, in the way you want it, everywhere. You don't even have to go to church to do the rounds. I'm not saying don't go to church, okay? I don't want you to misinterpret, because I don't want to get in trouble. What I'm saying is that everywhere where you are, you can make that moment a prayer. Every single thought can become a prayer. You can always exercise yourself in the divine will. And this is an example also of how the Lord says there is no limits for happiness. Now, we may not experience this happiness here. And of course, Adam, he experienced that because he was living in that state of grace. Now we have to understand also that the Lord says that all of these acts united with his will, everything that you do united with his will here on earth, it will constitute your eternal happiness. Whatever you do here, it will constitute your eternal happiness in heaven. And you may think, or you may say, well, you are making this up. In heaven, there are no different places. Everybody is equal because God is love and he's so good. Of course, God is love and he wants to give everybody the same, but not everybody has the capacity to receive the same. Last time I gave you a passage from the second volume, March 31st, 1899, in where the Lord talks about different places in heaven, and more, some more glorious than the others. So our happiness in heaven, or your happiness, my happiness, will be constituted basically by how many acts we did in union with his will, how many times we meditate with the hours of the passion, and all of this. So you can see there are no limits, because God is inexhaustible. He's inexhaustible. At the end of this revelation, the Lord says, there is no great misfortune than that of not making oneself be dominated by my divine will. Because Only it is the conserver and the call of our goods in the creature. So basically, this is the great misfortune not to know this gift. But I will say, I will add that the greatest misfortune is to know this gift and not practicing this gift. To know this gift and to reject it, I will say that's the greatest misfortune. The Lord says it is a great misfortune not to know it. We already know this gift. And we are called to, again, learn from these passages that talk about Adam and Eve. And the purpose is that we may learn to pray in the way they were praying and act in the way they were acting. I think Saint Francis he will be so happy if he had the opportunity to come back just for a minute with the knowledge of what he has now or what the divine will is. He will try to cover as much as he could, because that will signify greater happiness for him. Basically a new place in heaven. And this is something that we have also to understand, that our happiness in heaven is determined by these acts that we do here. And there is a passage in the Book of Heaven that the Lord tells us that those who live in this way, they will have a new mission in heaven. Basically, they are ministering to the saints. I mean, to the other soul. Everybody in heaven, who is in heaven is a saint. So they will be ministering to the saints, bringing new things to them, new knowledge of God. And in that ministry, as the saints come to know new things about God, because remember, God is inexhaustible. As they learn more about God, they will receive new showers of joy, of happiness. They will rejoice so much more. And that will cause them to glorify more for the new knowledge that they have of their Creator. Because this is what eternal life consists of knowing God. And God has, in his infinite wisdom, he has managed to make himself known to all the saints so that they will always be knowing him more and more and more and more. That even this fall, is not going to stop him from fulfilling his mission to love the creature at every moment and to fill the creature with happiness. So there is no limits. I will say, even in heaven, there are no limits. Because these souls who have the knowledge of God's will, who acquire the knowledge of God's will here on earth and who practice and who live in it, their mission will be to go around and to bring that new knowledge to the souls, and that will make them burst with joy and rejoice more and more and more, and God will be glorified. So forever happy in heaven. So this is where we have to keep in mind always, that we are only learning a little bit of what the divine will is also through these writings of of passages about Adam and Eve, but this is the purpose, that we may go back to that place, because he wants to elevate us to the point of origin. This is where he wants to bring us. That even though we live in this period of time after the fall, he still wants to elevate us, bring us back to the point of origin. And he has made all the preparations already. Now is the time for all of us to give our fiat and to start living in this way. Let's go, before we finish, let's go with the